Gabe, thanks a lot for doing this. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, great, Joey. How are you doing?
Good. It's been a while since we've spoken. How have you been throughout this, shall we say, interesting pause that we've all been subjected to?
I've been pretty well. I mean, given the circumstances, nobody kind of got the virus in my immediate circle, but nobody that I know of kind of got really bad, a case of it. So, but my heart goes out to everybody else, but everything's okay. Just trying to stay busy with a little kid too. And, all good.
All right. So you provided another very interesting piece of cinema, and the movie is called Red Penguins. And I don't think people really know what exactly was going on in the Soviet Union during this time. And if you think about it, that the Russian Hockey League at the time, which is the KHL now, but this movie is filled with twists and turns and gangsters and a strip joint in a hockey arena. So I'm going to set the stage here, right? The Berlin Wall falls, Soviet Union collapse, and there's this guy named Steve Warshaw who told you about the Russian penguin story. At the time, you were kind of reluctant to engage, but tell us about this story and then what got you to ultimately engage.
Yeah, so I was promoting Red Army, and we did like this huge screening in New York for the New York Rangers and the whole organization and the players and stuff. And, it went well, and Steve was there. Steve is a marketing guy. He sort of cut his teeth in the minor leagues and then for the Pittsburgh Penguins was working for them. But Steve told me the story afterwards, which I kind of interrupted him in the middle because, again, he said, this is, I loved Red Army, but this is, I've got a crazier story you just wouldn't believe about this same Red Army team in the 90s. And he said, if Red Army is the beauty, then I've got the beast for you, he said. And so I was very reluctant to engage, but he told me this. He sent me all these materials to LA, and I didn't look at them for many months. And finally, when I did, I was just like, oh my God, this is like the most unique story in the most unique time that I had ever heard of. And I couldn't believe that I didn't know about this, nor did I think anybody else really know about this and what happened in Russia in the 1990s, but specifically this impossible business venture between the Red Army team, one of the most famous and infamous teams in history that kind of dominated hockey for so long, and the fact that they were bankrupt and had to go to the U.S. to the NHL to find investment. And so they found the Pittsburgh Penguins owner, Howard Baldwin, at the time, who was very eccentric, kind of kooky guy, but, was a risk taker. And Howard thought that it would be a hell of an idea to basically own half of this team, the Red Army team. And so, the reason being that, A, there was just a lot of investment pouring into Russia at the time because they thought that there was just so much opportunity to bring brands and make money, but also to get kind of a first look at all the younger players coming out of Russia at that time, because the older players were already kind of scooped up by the NHL and they really had nothing left. And so, they still thought that there was some opportunity to get a first look at these younger players. But really the story is about this business investment and what happened to this team for the 2-year kind of insane experiment in Russia, and how Steven Warshaw, the marketing guy, came over to Russia to oversee this investment and basically all the insanity that happened, which we can get into. But
okay, let's get into it, because I'm all about insanity, especially when it comes to Russian hockey. So they were having trouble luring fans to the Moscow Arena, or Moscow Arena, depending on your vernacular, but they looked at gimmicks, right? So they marketed, which in Russia you would think marketing in Russia has to be probably a pretty difficult prospect at the best of times because of the political climate. But this was one of those times where that political climate had changed, right? The Soviet Union had fallen. People were poor. There wasn't a lot of money. But the Russian Penguin team, they used gimmicks like strippers, free beer, or a Gorbachev Yeltsin lookalike contest. And if I'm not mistaken, was there not a strip joint in the bottom of the arena?
Yeah. I mean, there was. It was called the Red Zone. And so Steve basically went down there and couldn't believe. He said there's like women in cages. And it was just, it was this time where there was no laws and no law enforcement. Everything was being rewritten. And it was a free-for-all. They called it the Wild East. So, yeah, Steve thought it would be a great idea to get these you know, strippers to perform during halftime when the team was in the locker room, because the coach, Viktor Tikhonov, was this old communist, you know, famous coach that wouldn't have approved of it. But Steve – and so they started getting fans in this way and giving away free toilet paper and getting – the circus was in town, and so they, Steve, you know, had the Bears come on the ice and drink beer during halftime. It was just complete insanity. Anything that they could do to get people to come, and they did, and eventually it became the biggest show in Moscow at that time. Everybody wanted to go to these games, even though the hilarious irony is that the hockey was terrible, you know, because they had taken all the – and when I say terrible, I mean it was okay. But if you're, you know, a hockey aficionado, you know, you want to see the best in the world. And these guys were not. But yet everyone was coming to these games because it was just a show. It was all show and no hockey, which in the Soviet Union, it was all hockey and no show. So it just became the total opposite.
Okay, so I got to ask you, you guys tried to get Michael Eisner, the former Disney CEO, who was instrumental in bringing hockey to Southern California in Anaheim anyway, after he became friends with Bruce McNall. And he kind of, there's some things in this movie that Eisner didn't acknowledge or didn't want to be involved in. I know you guys kind of went to try to talk to him, but there are some things here that people would have a hard time believing. How did you quantify some of the things in terms of, you know, the Russian mob involvement and the strip joint in the basement? Is there something that you can point to? So like the Penguins, the Penguins quickly become that they, this became profitable, right? So what I was going to say was that you have bears from a nearby circus guzzling down the team's sponsored beer at the arena, right? That's in the footage.
Yeah.
You have this thing becomes profitable, and they reportedly caught the interest of Eisner, who loves hockey, and they were exploring the creation of a Mighty Ducks franchise in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, look, this became a very popular thing, and it was also kind of a symbolic for American-Russian relations. Everyone thought, oh, look at this success story, you know, where these, you know, an American company and Russians got sort of succeeded, right? And it was kind of in the Wall Street Journal as a success story. So Michael Eisner kind of was really intrigued and thought that, wow, this could be a way for Disney to kind of enter Russia through the greatest hockey franchise that they had. And he got really excited about it. He, you know, I think it's a great idea, you know, the Mighty Ducks to do something in Russia. And to kind of get Disney in there, and he started coming up with all these new logos and so on. But Eisner, you know, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to be associated with something that kind of turned out negative, you know, especially when there's the criminal element and all this crazy stuff that he, you know, they started to learn all the shadiness that was actually happening as soon as there was a high level visibility of success in Russia at that time, especially none of the companies could survive because whether it's the government or mafia, it was all the same then, you know, they would come in and basically make it impossible to succeed.
Cause they wanted to take a piece of the action and a large piece of the action, right?
Yeah. Well, so at first they didn't understand even what business was and you know, how to keep correct books, how to make profit, how to market a product. That was completely, it wasn't a language that they spoke, because that's not what communism is, you know. And as soon as they kind of learned, they thought they knew how to do it themselves, just like it happens with China, it happens with, you know, a lot of countries. They want to do it themselves. They don't want people to come in and exploit their resources. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's common sense, but it's also criminal, you know.
Yeah, and look, the movie – The movie's great. I recommend people watch it. It's called Red Penguins, and it premiered August the 4th on Canadian digital and on-demand platforms, so you can pretty much get it anywhere here in Canada. We're short for time here, Gabe. I'm going to get you on again, but I appreciate the time, and I recommend that this movie, that people go watch Red Penguins, because it's highly entertaining, and you're a great movie maker. Thanks a lot for taking the time to do this, okay?
Thanks a lot, Joey. Have a good one. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. That is Gabe Polsky.